Good morning, it's Melanie here from Do Business Network, and this morning I'm joined by Michael Gibbon from Rayton Bridge Group Limited. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning, I'm fine.
Good, good. It's lovely to have you here. You're one of our newest members. Woohoo! I know I'm saying you're one of our newest members, but you have been along to a few meetings, so it's nice to actually see that you've officially signed up. And it's lovely to have you here this morning on our podcast, because then I can tell everyone else within DBN and obviously anyone else who listens to the podcast a little bit about you and what you do. So that's where we will start off. So, Michael, can you please officially introduce yourself and tell us about your business?
So as you've already said, Melanie, I'm Michael Gibbon, and I run Rayton Bridge Group Limited. I'm the director. And Rayton Bridge Group is IT support business, providing IT support for small businesses throughout the UK, including managed service provision, installation consultancy, and business telephony.
Wow, it sounds like you've got a lot on your plate there. Can you tell us a little bit about what your bread and butter service is and how you got into it?
I've always worked in IT, so my background is working in IT, and from there developed my skills, developed my knowledge. And the bread and butter really of what we do is we provide smaller companies with an outsourced IT department on a day-to-day basis.
Right, okay. So pretend I'm a 5-year-old, because things don't stick in my I am blonde, you know. So when you say general IT services, is it, helping them with Microsoft Office or networking, your computers? What is it typically
It
that?
could be a multitude of things. So it's somebody at the end of a phone on a day-to-day basis. So if you work in a large organization, you would typically have an IT department, and you would pick up the phone or email the IT department and go, "Look, this has happened to my computer. This screen's appeared," or whatever. This is, out of the normal, maybe. Then they would offer support. That's what we do for smaller businesses.
Yeah.
So either on a monthly retainer, in the case of that, we would be there at the end of a phone or an email. On top of that, we will look after Microsoft Office packages. We will look after their subscriptions, management of that. So, for example, email accounts, SharePoint, installation of the software and set up users' accounts, change of staff. We will, sort their email accounts out and do all of that for them. So we'll basically become the admin for their 365 as well. We'll look after day-to-day security, so antivirus cover, firewall protection, and maybe online backup solutions or even on-site backup solutions.
Yeah, you touched on antivirus there, and obviously I do talk to a lot of business owners on a regular basis, and the topic crops up now and then. Do you find that small business owners with off the shelf antivirus packages, sometimes it doesn't cut the mustard? You need something a little bit more robust.
Yeah, I mean, there's two ways you can look at it for small businesses. Some will use free software to try and save money. Some will use none. Again, try and save money or not understand the risk, so they think they don't need it. The problem with off the shelf is you don't have that bespoke or personalized approach. So I will always look at what the business has got, what software they're using, what platforms they're using. If you just go and buy something off the shelf and stick it in, 9 times out of 10, it will stop something from working because it isn't configured properly or it's not compatible with something else. Where by coming to me or to the business, we will look at what you've got and advise more bespokely than just go and buy something off the shelf.
Can you give us an example then of perhaps a scenario that you've been in where a customer's approached you and hasn't had adequate antivirus software, and therefore it's had an effect on their business?
I've dealt with drastic effects of no antivirus or poor antivirus. there's a multitude of things that can span from that. So how we normally come across it, if they're not one of our clients and we're not managing them and looking after them, it will be because the system isn't running the way it should. So, for example, they've got pop-ups, they've got a lot of spam emails, it's running slow, they've got security, well, potential security messages popping up saying it's infected. That is where you spot it. That's a telltale sign. It's normally that there's not adequate security. And it generally slows the machine down, slows performance down, which then slows it down for their staff in the grounds of performance and, you know, trying to get things done. But also it opens the door to security breaches. So once you start opening the door to antivirus not being there or not being adequate, then you open yourself to being hacked or other things. It's not always your own accounts that's hacked neither. So you hold information on other people. And if you're a small business, as we all know, data protection law has changed.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more responsibility on the business. If you haven't got adequate security or antivirus and your machines are vulnerable, then you could find yourself in breach of data protection.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's a funny world we live in, isn't it? Where you get these cyber attacks quite randomly on, or sometimes not quite randomly on your business, especially if you're holding a lot of information on clients, but also financial information that could, I guess, breach trust between you and your client if you get hacked. Do you then give advice to small business owners, something that they can pass on to their staff about being vigilant and looking out for certain...
Yeah, I have a separate business to Written, which is Carway Consultancy, and part of that is educating staff.
Right.
So part of that business is presentations of going into companies and given some ground level. Mm-hmm. So it's not technical, it's not the IT department, it's ground level day-to-day advice on what to look for. So the ground level of IT users within your business who don't have or might have limited IT knowledge or security knowledge, they don't need to know the IT side of it. They just need to know what to look for, and that's part of what I offer under Carway Consultancy.
So that's anyone really that uses a PC or has access to emails, yeah?
Yeah, anybody who touches a PC. There is a bit of a sort of joke where a guy walks in to speak to somebody and says, I work in cyber.
Uh-huh.
And this woman turns and says, I don't use cyber. And then by the time you realise, she does, because what she just realises is cyber just means online.
Online,
had her accounts online, she had a banking online, she did everything, emails online, and by the time that conversation ended, she realised she did use cyber.
Yeah. Well, that's a thing. I think it's, you know, it's naivety. And I used to work for a company where there was we did have a bit of a cyber attack. It was due to an email that was opened quite innocently.
Yeah.
It was a legitimate email from a client, and it wasn't. So when they opened it, it caused all sorts of problems. Luckily, the company that I was with at the time did have a support system in place, and, you know, potential disaster was averted, but because of the nature of the business, it could have had such a huge negative effect on their reputation with the clients. But also, I found that the employee who opened the email was embarrassed, and they felt ashamed, and it really knocked the confidence. Do you find that?
Yeah, there's drastic effect on one of the things I touch on in that presentation is the effect of the staff who are involved.
Mm-hmm.
So what you look at is, they've accidentally clicked on it, but what it sometimes does is, it creates embarrassment. It creates that person to feel vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And almost feel daft because of what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the impact on that business. So if the business has lost money or whatever, they don't want damage to that business if they're a genuine person. So when that happens, they feel like, you know, they possibly damaged the business or they've damaged the business reputation. And it'll not be the first time. And it's one of the things that I talk to companies about is part of their staff wellness is to make sure that if that does happen, they offer the staff support. Maybe they need it, maybe they don't, mm-hmm. but it's the effect that sometimes you can have. And the last thing you do is humiliate the person who's done it.
Yeah, yeah. I think they'd feel bad enough anyway without having the finger pointed at them. Do you know what? I think we need you along at one of our meetings just to give a brief overview of this and obviously get people sort of thinking about potentially what could happen. But my next question is then, Michael, is, you know, what is it that you would like? Imagine you've got a room of people that you're networking with and you could, you know, reach out to them. What is it that you want them to look out for you, for your business? What is it that you would like them to keep an eye out for you?
Small businesses who, in most cases, don't have their own IT department.
Mm-hmm.
So they want somebody who they can pick up the phone to and have that equivalent of having an IT department within their business. So it could be a business of one or two people where it doesn't justify having, you know, an IT man full time or whatever.
Yeah.
But for a small fee, we can offer that service. It's almost, well, how I do it is it's almost offered like an insurance.
Yeah.
So you pay a fee based on your demand. So mm-hmm. if you've got one user or you've got 20 users, the cover or the cost of that cover will be dependent on, you know, the users and how much we estimate you might use us. And then what happens is, as and when you need us, you use us. Yeah. But unlike insurance, it doesn't go up the next year when you've actually used us.
Yes, that's
so it's based, we sort of base it on roughly how many hours we think you may use us, and then it's there. But what I want to speak to is the small businesses who don't have their own IT department
mm-hmm.
and just need somebody there as a peace of mind to go, well, is my IT working properly? Am I working at best efficiency? Am I secured? Am I sticking to my data protection guidelines by having enough security on my machines? Am I using software that may not be secure?
Yeah.
So there's certain online data storages, which I'll not name, which aren't up to criteria.
Yeah.
If they're using them, then they're potentially leaving themselves wide open. The other thing as well is it's having somebody on the end of a phone who can offer that advice. So sometimes now when you go for contracts and they're asking for certain criterias around your system security, your data management, and your general protection, because they don't want that to backlash on them when their subcontractors potentially left them wide open. So it's those sort of things that we advise on as well. But ideally, small businesses or small charities, we do a lot with charities. We can do a lot of discount
mm-hmm.
on various things for charities. So, for example, software and various licenses can be a lot cheaper if you put them through the charity, like, for example, non-for-profit
mm-hmm.
or even education. So we look at those options. So it's smaller businesses, primarily in the Northeast, who are looking for that peace of mind.
Yeah, and that's what you're paying for, isn't it? That small fee, just because you're a one-man band, for instance, doesn't mean to say that you can't have the support that you need. And actually, I would argue sometimes that one-man band would probably need that support more so because their computer, most of the time, is their lifeline to their clients. You know, it's something that we work on around the clock, and a lot of small businesses can't afford the luxury of two or three computers if one goes pop or something goes wrong. No, that's really interesting. And it's like I say, you know, that small fee for peace of mind, so you can pick up the phone and just say, this has happened.
Yeah.
Kind of gives an idea of what's gone wrong. I'm assuming then, because gone are the days where, again, in previous employment, where you had an IT department who used to say, oh, just turn your computer off and turn it back on again, it'll work. But a lot of the times it's not as easy as that, is it? So it's nice to have someone. Can you remotely log on then?
Yeah, we can do remote sessions if needs be. Anything that's outside the Northeast, we typically look after remotely, unless if obviously we need to get hardware or whatever on site. But yeah, we can do remote. So how do we offer the services? Telephone support, on-site support, email, and remote is all part of our package.
Yeah, brilliant. So if anyone who's listening to this podcast and wants to find out a little bit more about you or your business, what's the best way that they can contact you?
Well, I have multiple routes to contact. I would probably say the easiest way is to visit our website, which is www.raytonbridgegroup.co.uk. Brilliant. And then on there is a contact form, is, you know, telephone number, and basically go from there. Or you will find me on LinkedIn. I'm quite active on LinkedIn.
Oh, brilliant. I know I've seen you about on LinkedIn, so I can vouch for that. But do you know, it's lovely finding out more about our members, and obviously this one about you. And I know you're coming along now with Shoebox Expo next week. Whoop, whoop. So, perhaps, well, actually, then I'm not saying perhaps you will be able to tell us a little bit more about the services that you offer and get to know our members a lot more, Michael. It was lovely to talk to you this morning. I hope you have a lovely weekend. Thank you very much.
Yeah, same to you, and I will see you at Beamish next week.
Take care. Bye.